In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we commemorate not only an historical event that occurred, but also a prophecy of things to come. This prophecy is specific, and it is to each one of us. This prophecy should be fulfilled, I say should be fulfilled, in each one of us. And that is that we would be partakers of divine nature, as St. Peter said in his epistle. He was looking towards the end of his life. He knew that the end was near. And he said, he was kind of taking stock of things. And he was telling his beloved that he would be sure to take care of them after his decease, and that he told them what is truly important, that he was partaker and they would be partakers of divine nature. What does this mean? Well, when the apostles, the three, came with Christ to the mountain, it was night, and they were sleepy. But the Lord had something that he wanted to show them, and through them, to all of us. He was transfigured on this mountain in the middle of the night, so that his clothes became whiter than anything imaginable, whiter than the sun, whiter than anything that anyone could imagine. And what happened to these apostles? They were struck with fear. They fell down. They were perplexed. They were confused. Because they were in the presence of divinity. They always had been in the presence of divinity, but God had shielded their eyes from his divinity. He took off the shield when he was on the mountain, and he showed them who he really is. Now, at the time, Peter was perplexed and frightened and confused. Later on, after living many years, struggling as an apostle, living the Christian life, being filled with the Holy Spirit, when he reflected on it, he instead referred to this event as beholding the divine majesty and that we would be partakers of divine nature. That is, he understood now that our purpose in life is to behold God face to face. Not as in a mirror, but face to face. But we can only behold him face to face after much trial, much struggle against our passions. When Peter first saw the Lord face to face in his divinity, he was still a sinful man. It was only a few days before he would deny him three times. So he still had passions within him. And so when those passions were met with divinity, he was afraid. But through the course of time, struggle, desire, the Holy Spirit filling him, God being with him in every moment, Peter was no longer afraid to be around divinity. It is the same with us. The Transfiguration tells us that we will be partakers of divinity, of the divine nature. But this is only possible if we work to cleanse ourselves, because the unclean in the presence of bright light are very much aware of their dirtiness and they're ashamed. So I told you before, this is a prophecy, a very specific and individual prophecy to each one of us. Not a general prophecy. It is about each one of us. And what it consists of is this. We must struggle to follow the commandments so that we would be cleansed of our sins and be able to be in the presence of God, the uncreated light, and to be without shame. Because God will show us this light. He will show us who he really is. And we will be in his presence forever. That is the content of this prophecy. So it is not just a prediction. It is also a moral instruction. because we see what happened to the apostles when they were in the presence of the divine light. They were frightened because they were still sinful men. Now let me explain a few things about this gospel. It was night when he went up on the mountain, and the St. Luke says that they were sleepy. This is an important detail. God was going up on the mountain to show them who He really was, and they were sleepy. So are we sleepy. Our sins make us sleepy. So we must take care so that we awake and do not miss God, because God's grace is present in everything we do, in everything we experience. God is helping us. And how aware are we of this? We're very sleepy too. Now, he was speaking with Moses and Elias, showing that he is the Lord of the living and of the dead. Because, of course, Moses died. Elias has not died up until this point. So he is the Lord of the living and of the dead. They were speaking with him of his decease, of his coming passion. And the reason they were is because the apostles were about to have their whole world shattered. The one they were following, whom they thought might be the Messiah, they were not quite sure. Sometimes they were sure and other times they weren't sure. Because of the weakness of their flesh, they couldn't always understand what Jesus was telling them. But they thought that he might be the Messiah. And they were about to have their whole world turned upside down when he would be arrested like a common criminal, and in fact treated worse than a common criminal, with the scourging and the tortures and the mocking and the reed and the cross and all the rest. So he was speaking with Moses and Elias so that they would have this in remembrance when they would be tempted, that the Lord was the Lord of the living and the dead, and is the Lord of the living and the dead, and that this was part of his plan to go through his passion. Brothers and sisters, this applies directly to us. We are born to see the uncreated light of God. This is only possible with purification. This purification comes through two sources. One, a very tiny, small, weak one, and one, a great torrent, a river. But both must be joined together in order for this purification to occur. And the small, weak, little tiny tributary that feeds into this river is our effort. And of course, the river, the torrent, is the Holy Spirit, God making us capable of becoming perfected. And it will happen if we struggle. And then we too, like the Apostle Peter, will be partakers of divine nature. May God help us to attain to this calling. Amen.